Today on Real Radio.
He pleads and he has pled, has he not? With all of us who now we can say, that's the way we were. Oh, church family, hallelujah, thank God. I'm not perfect, neither are you, but you know what? We're not who we used to be. It's the way we were.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the part of chapter 6 where the apostle explains that believers now have a new life being born from above, and that our lifestyles are to demonstrate that we're no longer to live the way that we used to live as unbelievers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Way We Were.
Sodomites will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The one who yields himself, herself willingly over to what is called self-abuse or human abuse. It's not like someone slaps you and abuses you. It's that you give yourself over to this particular type of conduct that actually ruins your body. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. You say, Jack, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's the whole point. Are you guys with me? You're so quiet. It's the whole point Paul is painting. You might be sitting here today and saying, Pastor, if I wasn't so disgusted, I'd get up and run out of this building right now. No, no, no. This is exactly for you. This is exactly for you because there's great hope. You might say, I've never done any of those things, but I've thought every one of those things. Then listen, you're just as guilty according to God. There's hope for you. Hear me out. Don't run. Don't leave. Romans 1:24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Can you imagine God is going to cut someone loose someday and let them go that route? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who? Exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. It's almost like it's defining the internet today, pornography and all that stuff. Who is blessed forever, amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use, that implies a man. Women gave up on using men for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in the lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. And receiving in themselves, the word means internally, inside their own guts, inside their own DNA life, the penalty of the error that is due to them. God has invited us into his family. Our Father has invited us out of this world that we were once held by. You see, Jack, I understand that, but the Bible also warns us that people who look and take pleasure in things that others do are guilty as well. If you've ever heard the term guilty by association, it is wrong for us to say, well, I just watched this. I'm just watching. The Bible says that you want that. And the Bible teaches that you are vicariously living out a godless passion through that thing. And these are the unspeakable. Listen, these are the unspeakable things that the church doesn't speak about. And people leave the walls of a church, especially young people today, and they are engrossed in this world. And they're lost in this world. Precious children now no longer able to look at a man or a woman or a neighbor or a girl who is a friend or a boy who is a friend in the same light ever again, ever. Because someone texts them a photo. Did you know in your kid's life, there's a hunt out there for your child's cell phone number? And the person sending them pictures, they don't even know who your kid is. They'll get the kid's number on campus. Hey, what numbers do you have? You got this number? And they'll send photographs. Nobody knows. It's taken with their phone, sent to that your child's phone. And your child says, who's this from? Opens it up, boom, mind, eyes, Look, I'm just speaking for a man. I've never been a woman. Don't plan on ever being one. But guys, hear me out. You know what I'm talking about. The moment as a young man, there's that snapshot that you see a woman for the first time, your life changes. And it ain't good. Boy, do I sound like a dinosaur. That's okay. I can tell you right now, you may not agree with me, but those kids next door, when I'm with them and we're having a Bible study together or we're having a special night with the youth, every one of them knows exactly what I'm talking about. Their hearts are more tender and they'll confront the issue. Paul is trying to get the church at Corinth back online. Secondly, we were convicted by the Spirit of God. We were invited by our Father, but we were convicted by the Holy Spirit. That's a great thing. He says, notice the second group. No thieves, no covetous people, no drunkards, those who alter their state, nor revilers, people who tear others down with their mouth, nor extortionists, they're just swindlers. That's the best word I can come up with. They just swindle people. Wherever they go, they leave a wake of people being robbed. Everywhere they go, this man seems like I'm a dollar short after that guy walked by. You know what I'm talking about? We all know people like that. We try to avoid them. Wow. John 16:5 says, "But now," Jesus said, "I go away." He's talking about going back to heaven. "To him who sent me, and none of you will ask, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged," a reference to Satan. Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. You might be here today. God bless you. If today you're saying, "Pastor, end the message. I can't take it. I feel like I'm burning in my chair. I feel like I'm all eyes are on me." Do you know there's no eyes on you? But him who says to you, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Come out from among that and be separate, saith the Lord. If you'll come to me," he says, "I will forgive you and I will heal you." He pleads and he has pled, has he not? With all of us who now we can say, "That's the way we were." Oh, church family, hallelujah, thank God. I'm not perfect, neither are you, but you know what? We're not who we used to be. Amen. It's the way we were. We're different now. It's awesome. And he's redeemed us. Verse 10 tells us that we were redeemed by the Son, invited by the Father, convicted by the Spirit, and redeemed by the Son of God, Jesus. It says there that really none of these, as they are, will inherit the kingdom of God. We understand that. But you and I will. We are. How does that happen? Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Go ahead and be good. The Christian should be the best citizen in the world. But just understand this. That's not how you get to heaven. But by faith in Jesus Christ, even when we've believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Wow. Jesus saves us. Jesus redeems us. The Bible tells us in Romans 4, verse 5, "But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness." We should all have yelled hallelujah at that moment, because no matter what we've ever done in our lives, when we hear the gospel that Jesus saves these people listed, which is all of us, every one of us. You say, "I'm not in that list." Yeah. Nope, now I haven't done any of those things. I don't need Jesus. You're an idolater then. You have an idol in your life. You have three of them. It's you, yourself, and I. I don't need Jesus. It's good for you. You guys need it. I'm okay. You're an idol worshiper, the Bible says, and you need the love of God. Third and final point, we'll end it with this. The way we were, verse 11 teaches us, now we can never be the way we were. Can you write it down? I love this. I had fun putting this together. Now, we can never be the way we were. I'm not saying it like this, church. We can never be the way we were. We can never be the way we were. We can never be the way we were. Come on, let's all hum this together. We can never be the way we were. Are you? No. I'm not talking about lunacy. I'm talking about we can never be who we were. Because who we were, that person that was, is dead. Amen. The only reason why you and I struggle with the old us is because we remember on the wrong things. We let our minds go to a world that God has forgotten. He says, I will take of your sins and never remember them again. Who remembers them? I do. I remember my sins. You know who can tell us the worst about you? You. Satan can do a pretty good job too, but we're not talking about him right now. You can tell us the worst about you. Think about it. The old you's dead. The proof of it is your new life. You say, well, Jack, why do I still battle? Because you're alive. A dead man doesn't battle. There is no war going on in a dead man's life. We know this. Do we not know this? In a battle, a dead man is dead. You don't put a gun in his hand and say, come on, man, keep shooting. Come on, let's go, run. He's dead, for crying out loud. He's left that world. The Bible says you've left that old world. You're not there anymore. You're new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, we get to tell others about the Lord. This way, listen, because the old us died that day we came to Christ. Mark it down. The old person is you. It says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Church, I'll quickly tell you because we're out of time. I physically stood in Corinth. I've been there. I went to the archaeological sites. I saw on display what was going on in Corinth 2,000 years ago. The figurines, the archaeological evidence, the idols that have been unearthed are so pornographically disgusting and graphic. I don't want them in my mind. And they were selling them as bracelets and things you can put around your neck, just like ancient Corinth. Because you would take those idols of whatever it was, and you would take it and present it at the altar of Athena or Zeus or Diana, and you would go into those acts of idolatry with sexual practices. And it was disgusting, amazing, horrible. And when I thought about that, I wrote it down because I've never forgotten. I wrote it down in my notes. I said, here, in the midst of my disgust, this verse in Corinthians came to my mind, and I was so convicted and ashamed because it had dawned upon me I was the hypocrite at Corinth, because their sins seemed to me so dirty and so gross and so freaky weird. From God's perspective, they were just like mine, because I was at Corinth like this. What a bunch of homosexual sodomy freaks. What a bunch of idol-worshiping adulterers. What a sickening place. And then the next verse says, and such were some of you. And the power of my God changed my life that day at Corinth. How much can he forgive anyway? How far will he go to rescue the lost? God help us if we as a church look down at those women walking the streets on Holt Avenue. You have no idea what their stories are. Or the man that's in some back alley shooting up. Or some guy that's in the high rise over here drawing a line of coke because his life is so miserable. The temptation for us is to say, oh boy, what a mess that guy is. Wait a minute, that's the way we once were. You say, oh, I didn't do those things. No, but you did your thing. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider your heavens and the work of your hands and the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? God, that you would save me. Verse 11 teaches us, because the new us lives since that day we met Jesus. He says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. Three things, circle them. This is the new you. Washed. Ephesians 5:26 says that he may sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. It implies that this word of God was the first act in conversion for you and I, that his word washed us, cleansed our minds. You begin to see, even now, maybe in this message, you're starting to see the love of God in the midst of your sin. And when you say, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner, God says, yes, come to me. He doesn't tell you to go away. He says, come. And then look, we go from washing to sanctified. That word means that he picked you up out of the spirit of this world. He put his spirit in you and then placed you back into this world as a child of God. You've been sanctified out of this world, his world put in you, and now you live among others in this world. You are separated, sanctified, ordained to the will of God. Jude 1 tells us, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved, I like the word pickled, and pickled in Christ Jesus. Preserved. And then justified. Galatians 3:11 says, but no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. Do you have absolute faith in Jesus to wash away all these notorious sins of ours? The Bible says, justified. The picture of justification is this. It's a picture of a courtroom. Listen to this. It's graphic. There's a courtroom. The word means there's a courtroom. And the prosecutor is Moses and the Ten Commandments. Moses is sitting there. He's suing you for breaking his law. You're sitting, you and I are sitting on at the, we are the defendant. But we have no attorney. There's nobody sitting with us. The only good part is there's no judge behind the bench yet. The word implies that a door opens up and the judge walks out. And as he walks out and steps up onto the bench to take his seat at his great throne of judgment, guess who comes walking out of the judge's chambers? An attorney, an advocate. And that attorney walks out of the chambers of the judge, and he walks right down the center of the courtroom, opens the gate, looks at Moses, and says, Moses, how are you? Love you. Great day, isn't it? And by the way, those Ten Commandments, awesome. And he sits down next to you and me. And the judge says, next case tried, Jack versus the universe. Jack versus my holy standard, my eternal absolute holy glory. Jack versus the Ten Commandments. And the attorney says, Your Honor, Dad, I have met the demands, as we've discussed in your chambers. I've met the demands. I'm taking full penalty. And I'll sign that in with my own hand. Moses goes nuts. And the father raises the mallet and lets it fly, and it hits, and it says, case dismissed. that plays out and that shall play out for each and every human being on earth. At the end, will you have an advocate? Do you have a good attorney? Isn't it sick as a church living in this age? You know, you should see my phone. I don't have my phone with me because I'm always afraid it's going to ring during service, so I leave it back. Do you know if you go to A on my iPhone, you go to A, contacts, right? Anybody have a smartphone, you go to contacts? Yeah. You know it's a sad day. My daughter looked at this and said, man, I don't want to be you. You go to A, and there's a list of 13 different attorneys on my phone. All of them dealing with different kinds of law. Because everyone's trying to rip and rob and tear off a church in every kind of way. Isn't this a sick world? You need to make sure, you just can't have an attorney these days. You've got to have an attorney that is in regards to constitutional law. Because if you preach a message that could be taken a certain way, you better have a good attorney. And on it goes. Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus covers it all. And all that he wants to cover is you. Will you let him do that? And such for some of you. Such for some of us. I'm happy about that. I may be ugly, but I'm not stupid. I got to tell you something. I'm crazy for God. Because there's a healthy way of remembering. When I remember when I was a freshman in high school, when I remember I was a sophomore, when I remember I was a junior, when I remember after I got out of high school, I can either go, hey, I want to go do those things again. That's what this does. The flesh says, let's go do that again. The spirit says, sit down, you bonehead. You don't even know. You almost died. Just go sit in your corner. The flesh has got to be put down. When my spirit remembers the past, it's like this. Lord, thank you. God, thank you because I remember when our fullback was doing the same things we were doing. But he fell off the back end of his motorcycle down Beach Boulevard and put his brains all over the highway. And he died a lost man. God, thank you that I was alive and you kept me and I got to know you because I remember when our quarterback on our graduation night put a shotgun in his mouth and blew his head off. And now, all these years later, I get emails from people who stumble across the radio program across America and say, hey, remember me? You and I used to go to school together. Or you and I used to work together. So you're a preacher, huh? Who would have ever thought? And I see that and I say, God, thank you. There's a healthy way to remember. Thank God today we can say it's the way we were.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it's called The Way We Were, meaning that our lives as believers are now to be radically different from the lifestyles we used to live. The Way We Were. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Friday's edition of the program, we normally like to have a feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where we pull Pastor Jack into the studio and we ask him questions that you have written in to us. Now, we pull him in as often as we can, but today it's just not possible for him to be here. But if you do have a question for Pastor Jack you'd like to ask him, and there's a good chance we'll ask it on the air, send the question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Or our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.